We've come back to this chapter in Titus chapter 1, and we're going to pick up our reading in verse number 9. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Let's do pray for our teenagers. They are at the Crown Youth Congress that began tonight, and we're praying for them that God will speak to them, that they'll come back better than they left. And I appreciate the church praying for our teenagers as they're away from us tonight as well. Titus chapter 1, look at verse number 9. The Word of God here, Paul is speaking in verse number 1. We understand that Paul is the human penman. And he begins to speak to Titus. That's the name of the book here. He's speaking to a man by the name of Titus. And he's talking in context here about elders. Now, elders is just another name for pastors. It's another name for those who lead the local church. So a pastor is the same as an elder, you understand? So he's speaking to the pastors of these local churches, and he's speaking in all of this, and we've come down through verse number 8. We come now to verse number 9, and it says here, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, that they turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being an abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now, you'll notice earlier in this chapter here, you'll notice the word elders. Now, that being the case here, that's the title of this message. This is part two to it, and I encourage you to go back and get the other one. When did I do it? Have no idea. The days and weeks are running together for me, so maybe the secretaries can help you out. But this is part two to this message that I have begun on elders, pastors, leaders of the local church. Let's pray together. We share this with you. Father, we love you tonight. Challenge us from your word. Speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you and your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, after Paul finished his salutation to Titus, he turned his attention in this book onto the purpose of writing to Titus here. And he told Titus that he left him in Crete for the cause of setting, and I quote, in order the things that are wanting. Now, the word wanting here means lacking. That means this church lacked some things. There were some things missing. In other words, there was something that had to be done, that needed to be done there in Crete. And what it was he was to be ordaining elders to lead these local churches. Now, we see in these verses that elders and bishop are used interchangeably, bishop and elder. These were those who were chosen to lead the local churches. They are what we would call the pastor today, okay? Now, in this passage, we see the importance of a local church having a God-called, God-ordained pastor that lives up to the qualifications laid out in this chapter right here. Now, to be a pastor is truly a holy calling, and God expects his pastors to set great godly examples. After all, elders are identified in this passage in verse number 7. The Bible calls them the steward of God. You know what that means? A steward is somebody who manages somebody else's property. You know what that tells me? That as a pastor, I'm the steward of God here. You know what that means? That means you don't belong to me. That means this church doesn't belong to me. You, me, and the church belong to God. And all I am is I'm managing what belongs to Almighty God. Now, this being the case, this makes this calling a holy calling. And God demands accountability. And it comes with responsibility. Now, as you study this chapter with me, we've already studied a lot of it, but as we continue with this study here of what an elder, a pastor, a bishop should be, all of God's children can be challenged here. Because if God expects this out of his pastors, are you listening to me? He also expects it out of his children. See, God doesn't hold a pastor. Now, yes, he holds him to a high standard. He demands it. It's not an option. He's commanding it. But sometimes we get the mistaken idea that God has set the pastor way up here and the rest are way down here. That's not how God does it, friends. God has set us all on an even plane. It just so happens that he calls a man to be the under-shepherd and to lead the flock and manage the flock of God, and therefore he's holding him to these high standards. But everybody can learn something here. In other words, don't tune me out because I'm preaching to myself as the pastor, okay? This applies to me, no doubt about it, because I am the elder here, I am the bishop here, I am the pastor here. This no doubt applies to me. He's speaking to me, but he's also speaking to all of us. It's in the Word of God. Now, this being the case, I've just walked through these verses with you. Let me tap it on the head where I've gotten. In verses 6 and 7, I've already preached on this in detail. I'm just going to mention it. Number one, he's to be blameless. Number two, in verse 6, he's to be the husband of one wife, a one-woman man. Number three, he's to have his faithful, he's to have faithful children who are not accused of riot or unruly. That's in verse 6. Verse 7, he's not to be self-willed. Verse number 7, he's not to be soon angry. Verse 7, he's not to be given to wine. Verse 7, he's not to be a striker. Verse 7, he's not to be given to filthy lucre. Verse 8, he's to be a lover of hospitality. Verse 8, he's to be a lover of good men. Verse 8, he's to be sober. Verse 8, he's to be just. Verse 8, he's to be holy. Verse 8, he's to be temperate. I've already preached on all of that. Go back and get it. Now, we pick up our study with the 15th thing. This is number 15. And it carries us from verse 9 down through verse number 16. And here's something that ought to summarize the pastor, ought to summarize the elder, ought to summarize the bishop, and then I say ought to summarize the church. Here it is, number 15. He's to hold fast the faithful word. We see this in verse number 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. Now, another truth that should characterize a pastor today is this statement. He's holding fast the faithful word. You know what the word holding means? It means to support it. It means to stick to it like glue. That's what it means. The word faithful, where it says holding, stick to, support the faithful word. The word faithful here means trustworthy, true, and sure. The word is God's holy word. May I say this to you? God's precious word is a faithful word. It's a trustworthy word. It's a true word. It's a sure word. And the man of God is to hang on to the truth contained herein and not waver. One man said, the man who stands to lead a church ought to be a man who holds on to God's written word and God's living word. These verses go on to say how holding fast the faithful word like this was to be so the man of God, you can read it, verse number 9, may be able by sound doctrine to both what the word of God teaches here, may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now the gainsayers are those who oppose the truth, those who want nothing to do with it, those who deny it. And we live in a country and even in a place in our local area that there are a lot of gainsayers around us. There's a lot of people who want nothing to do with it. They want to oppose it. The point here is this. The man of God is to stick to the truth of God's word to the point that he preaches sound doctrine, healthy doctrine, to encourage others to submit to it. And he can rebuke those who oppose it. See, the word convince here means to rebuke. Now get this. Verse 11 says the gainsayers subvert whole houses. You know what the word subvert means? It means they overthrow, they overturn. Listen to me here, friends. There's a major thought I'm trying to get across here. The Word of God says that these gainsayers will turn over entire homes. They will overthrow and overturn entire families. Notice it now, for filthy lucre's sake. There are those who teach a false doctrine because it puts bread on their table. And by their false doctrine, they are taking the truth of the Word of God and they're going into homes by the means of television, by the means of other things. They're going into homes and they are literally overturning homes. They are overthrowing homes from the truth. Gainsayers. People who deny the Word of God. Are you listening to me? In other words, here's what Paul is saying. Titus, if you keep your mouth shut and you don't stand against gainsayers, you are allowing entire families to go to hell. That's what he's teaching here. In verses 13 and 14, Paul commanded Titus, notice it, he said, rebuke them sharply. He said this, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. In other words, with those who are turning others away from the truth of God's word, the man is not to beat around the bush. He's not to sit back and do nothing. May I say this to you? The man of God, when it comes to truth and error, cannot be neutral. He cannot be neutral. He must lift his voice and say, thus saith the word of God. And anybody who teaches anything contrary to the word of God, they are to be convinced, they are to be rebuked, they are to be exhorted to turn from their wicked way, because they're not only going to hell, they're sending others there with them. Oliver Green put it well. He said the word sharply, where it says rebuke them sharply, it here means it cuttingly, do it severely, and comes from the word to cut off. Titus was to use words easily understood, words of severity and reproof that would strike home, making them understand that their character was wicked and ungodly beyond description. He was not to soft pedal his message. He was not to be mealy mouth. I'm quoting Oliver Green. He was to call sin by its right name. He was to spare neither their thought nor feelings. The Cretans knew they were sinful. They knew they were doing wrong. Therefore, they needed to be rebuked sharply. We know that because in verse number 12 says, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil be slow bellies. That's their own prophet. Say, here's who we are. We are liars. We are evil beasts. We are slow bellies. We are lazy. Their own prophet is saying that about them. And Paul said, Timothy, when you come across people, get it now, I'm getting ahead of myself, who try to teach that you have to add to salvation. It's not just Jesus, it's Jesus plus circumcision, which is what he was preaching against here. It's Jesus plus this or Jesus plus that. You can't remain quiet. You've got to lift your voice like a trumpet, because they are overturning homes. And if you don't speak out, there's going to be entire families who are going to split hell wide open. Let me tell you something. A lot of independent Baptist churches could not take this preaching from Paul. Because, give me now, we ought to have the right spirit. We ought to stand for God. Hold fast the faithful word. Do it with a godly, loving, sweet spirit. But when somebody is sending somebody to hell, it's time for God's people to say, that's a lie. That is not true. This is the truth. Jesus Christ is the way. He's the only way. He's the truth. He's the way. He's the life. And anybody who tells you any different, you get away from them. It's time for God's people to take a stand for the truth of God's holy word. One man put it this way, it's necessary to appear rude sometimes for safety. If the house is on fire and life is in danger, it's necessary to be rude. Now that listen to me, I've met too many of God's children who are rude. And God's not pleased with that. God wants you to take a right stand in the right spirit. No doubt about it. You don't have to act like a demon to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I will say this, there comes a time if, listen to me please, if a fire broke out and it is a matter of minutes before we can get people out, I'm not going to come to you and say, would you mind moving quickly please? Do you mind, if it's okay with you, we're going to burn up in about 3 minutes. If it's okay with you, would you mind to get out? Listen to me, there is a time, at times, when somebody's being sent to hell, that if the building's on fire and there's only minutes, I'm going to grab some of you and throw you out the window. You understand? And by the way, you may not understand it at first, but when you figured out what happened, you're going to say, thank you, Pastor. Do you understand what I'm trying to teach here? Paul is saying the house is burning down, Titus. There are those who are going into the families, into the homes of these cities, Titus, and they're taking false doctrine. They are teaching your families, they're teaching your homes that it's not just Jesus. They have to be circumcised. It's not just Jesus. They have to do this. And he's saying they are destroying people. And it is time for you, Titus, to buckle your seatbelt, put your chin strap on, and go to war. Because people's souls depend on hearing the truth of this book right here. Now, God's going to have to give us an understanding of what I'm saying. Because if you leave tonight and say, the pastor said I need to be rude to people, you completely missed what I said. That's not a true statement. But I am saying this. It's time, if somebody comes to you and says, I believe I have to be baptized to go to heaven, it's time for us not to say, well, okay, that's fine. No, it's time to look at them lovingly and say, listen to me. It's Jesus only, plus and minus nothing else. We must stand for the truth. And this is what Paul is teaching Titus. False teachers are sending people to hell. And by the way, they're on their way to hell themselves. And it's time for God's men to lift their voices for truth and rebuke false teaching so people may be saved for the glory of God. Are you listening? Including the gainsayers. Because the Word of God says, let him be sound in doctrine that he may exhort and convince the gainsayers. Not just convince them, rebuke them, but also exhort them. And he also goes on here to say that they be turned to the truth. Who are the they? You listening to me? Those people who are blinded and they're preaching another gospel? God loves them as much as he loves you, friends. God loves that Jehovah Witness as much as he loves you. God loves that Mormon as much as he loves you. God loves that Muslim as much as he loves you. But he's looking for somebody who has the truth, who can convince them and rebuke them lovingly so that they don't burn in hell. Why is it that people think taking a stand is a mean thing? When you stand for what's right, the truth of the Word of God, that's not meanness. That's what God's told us to do. In the closing verses of this chapter, he says in verse 15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. What's he saying here? He's saying here how man's ideas and beliefs don't make one in the family of God. J. Vernon McGee put it this way concerning verse 15, if you're an unbeliever, any special diet you might concoct will make no difference in your relationship to God. It will not save you. You can eat all the vegetables you want, but you're not right with God, they will not make you pure. Now we're talking about salvation here. The Lord Jesus said that it's not the thing that goes in that defiles a man, it's the thing that comes out of him. The point is this. These false teachers were trying to say there's another way of salvation. It's not what Paul's teaching. You got to be circumcised. It's not what, it can't be that easy. You've got to do. Don't you know we live in a day like that today? There are churches all over this area who try to teach. It's Jesus plus this. It's Jesus plus this, or maybe it's not Jesus at all. They're all over the place. They were trying to include more than faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were teaching man had to do something to help earn his own salvation. And to this, Paul admonishes Titus to be a pastor who stands firm on the truth of God's word. One man said, from the very beginning, the Christian church has suffered under the oppressive hand of persecution. To be a Christian for many meant to give up their jobs, their properties, their families, their lives. They were hunted and hounded, driven away from their societies. However, persecution has never fatally hurt the church. Indeed, the church's greatest growth has come when the heavy hand of the enemy was upon believers. Such times seem to call for special commitment and courage. In other words, this man is saying it's been hard on Christians in the past. But he goes on to say this, but perhaps, for instance, some people say the greatest danger to the Christian church today is Muslim extremist persecution, the wrong form of government. But I agree with what this man said. He said, perhaps the greatest danger to the church is false doctrine and heresy. There is a subtle tendency to work into the teachings of the church that which is not true. Mixing man's ideas with God's truth, and such a mixture of human and divine wisdom forms what the Bible calls heresy. This is what Paul is bringing out in these verses. See, this is one of the pastoral epistles. We're just preaching through this book. He's speaking to a pastor. It's a pastoral epistle. It's a letter to a pastor. And he's saying the elders, the pastors of local churches, were and still are to be men who stick to the truth of God's word and stand firmly against those who teach otherwise in order to deliver from the deception of man's teachings that end up sending people to hell. It's an exalted privilege to be called a pastor. It really is. I'm on a journey. I'm learning. It's almost like when you go to Bible college when you're a teenager and you think you know everything, and then you show up in Bible college and realize just how dumb you really are. I'm learning. I feel like I'm growing. I really do. God is teaching me things. I've made mistakes. And I'll make more if God gives me life. And if everything I ever do, you agree with everything I ever do and ever say, then I'm doing something wrong. We're never going to agree with everything, with everybody. But I want you to know something. My heartbeat is to take what God says in this book and stick to it like glue. I don't want to ever be pulled away from this book. I don't want to ever be disconnected from that book. But I want to be a pastor like Titus chapter 1. I'm working on it. I've not arrived. But just with the message tonight, I want to be a pastor who holds fast the faithful word. So that I, in my preaching, in my door knocking, in my witnessing to friends and families and neighbors, I have the fortitude that when I'm looking at a gainsayer, somebody who says that, listen, you're preaching lies at Buffalo Ridge Baptist. By the way, nobody's ever told me that, but I guarantee they're out there. Oh, they are. It's a bunch of hypocrites out there. Oh, I mean, it's easy believism. Let them say what they want to say, friends. Because I know this. I know the truth in this book has changed my life. And I know the truth of this book is what the world needs. And God says, I, as a man of God, am to be so grounded in this book and so attached to this book that when false teaching, I can smell it. That doesn't smell right. Something's not right with that teaching. Wait a minute. He's teaching works. And I'll look him right in the face and say, sir, you are wrong. Because that will send people to hell. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. We need to be men and women who have no problem standing firm on what God has said and lift our voices to help deliver people who are giving an ear to a false teacher. Now, what's the message tonight? How can we apply this to our life? Let me ask you a question. This is not the invitation, but I don't want to embarrass anybody. I want you to bow your head with me just a minute. Close your eyes. Let's put this where the rubber meets the road. What do we learn tonight? What do we learn from these verses where Paul is just giving the characteristics of a pastor? And as he says, they ought to be blameless and have children that's not accused of riot or unruly, not given to wine. Among all of that, he says, and they ought to hold fast the faithful word, so that they may be able with sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, who, by the way, are subverting, overturning houses, sending people to hell. How do we apply this? Number one, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? Have you put your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone? Now, this is a Baptist church, but being a Baptist will not make you go to heaven. Come to this church, we're glad you're here, but coming to church is not the same as going to heaven. Do you know without a doubt that you're believing the truth and that you're not believing a lie? On the authority of God's holy word, anything other than Christ and Christ alone is a lie. It's a lie. And it will send people to hell. If you're in some kind of religion, or if in your own mind you believe, you say, well, my belief is that I have to do this. Well, excuse me, I can believe I'm a rooster, but it doesn't make me one, does it? My belief doesn't mean it's fact. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is faithful. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you know him? Have you been saved? We are going into our invitation. I wasn't planning on it, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. Do you know that you're saved, that you're born again, that you believe the truth and not a lie? As she begins to play through softly, if you're here tonight and say, Jody, I'm glad I've believed the truth. I'm a born-again child of God. I've trusted Christ and Christ alone. I'm not putting my faith in anything I've done, but I've put my faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Have you know that? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Thank you. Isn't it good to be able to raise your hand to that? It's a blessing, isn't it? If you could not raise your hand to that, you can put your hands down. If you could not raise your hand to that, God loves you. He loves you. And this decision that we're going to ask that you make has nothing to do with joining this church. You can't join this church tonight. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with trying to get you to turn over a new leaf or change that. None of that, no. It's just simply us who know we're saved because we've trusted in Christ, wanting to invite you to do the same. That's it. Accepting the free gift of salvation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you could not raise your hand and did not raise your hand, thank you for your honesty. And I want to invite you during the invitation to come. We'll have a lady with a lady, a man with a man, and we'll point you to Jesus Christ. Please do the right thing. Along with that, do you know somebody who's teaching false doctrine? Have you all know somebody? It could be somebody in your family. It could be a coworker. It could be somebody in your neighborhood, but you know they're teaching something contrary to God's word when it comes to salvation. Have you all know somebody like that? Would you raise your hand? I'm not talking about generally speaking. I'm talking about you specifically know somebody like that. Would you raise your hand big and high? Would you do that? Yes. If you raised your hand, would you look at me just a moment? Do you understand the message? Am I preaching go roll their house? No. Am I preaching be mean to them? No. No, 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 1,000 times no. But I'm teaching be so faithful to God's word that you have to speak. You have to go to them and say, listen, I love you. And I've just got to say, even though you may disagree, you're believing a lie. And according to God's word, you're wrong. But you don't have to stay that way. God wants to save you. He said, I'm going to lose them. Have you not already? Have you not already? By the way, are you going to feel good about that? I was just afraid I'd lose them. Well, if you get a call tonight that they drop dead of a heart attack, be honest, what would you wish you had done? I'm not saying go to them and be ugly to them. If that's how you took the message, you took it wrong. But I'm saying in truth and in love, go to them and lovingly rebuke them and say, you're believing a lie. Would you let me tell you what God's word says? Now, if they don't, that's between them and God, but at least you tried. Send them a track. Write them a letter. If they're out of town, write them a letter. Say, I love you. And listen, here's the truth. Would you pray and ask God to speak to your heart? Read the gospel track. If you have questions, call me. That's what the message is. We're trying to deliver people. Not crucify people, but deliver them. Let me ask you this. Have you know somebody being sucked in by a false doctrine? That's a different question. You know somebody being sucked in by a false doctrine. Would you raise your hand? You know somebody like that? Yes? 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 If you raise your hand, look at me just a moment. I don't mind you looking at me because I'm not talking about you. You know, you raise your hand for somebody else. What are you going to do about it? You going to be ugly about it? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. You just need to get over it. Now, that's not God's spirit. No, but you rebuke them in love. Firm, but in love. And say, God's word is true. And here's what God says. And whoever you're listening to, I'm pleading with you, get away from them. Get away from them. Because they're going to send you to hell. They need to hear that. You say they get mad. Let them get mad. But trust the Holy Spirit of God to go to bed with them that night. Wake them up that night and say, he's right. She's right. Everybody look at me just a moment. We're going to have our prayer meeting here in just a minute. I'm cutting into that time, but do you understand what I'm preaching tonight? Do you at least understand this? I'm not asking, are you going to do it, but do you understand it? It's not an arrogant, in your face, spit on them, that's terrible. No, but it is a strong, sharp rebuke. They've got to see somebody cares enough to confront them. And if you care enough to confront them, trust the Holy Spirit to tell them there must be something to what they're saying. Excuse me. If they die and go to hell, they ought to have to step over your body to get there. There are too many of God's children who know they're going to hell, know they're believing a lie, know they're teaching a lie, and they just step back and just let it happen. You know what Paul's telling Timothy? Get right in their face and tell them the truth. Now, what are we going to do about it? You know what I think would be good tonight? Maybe our prayer time is this. Maybe this is our prayer time. To get on our face. Number one, if somebody's lost, to come and be saved. Number two, for God's church to get on their face and say, God, help us to hold fast to the faithful word. Wouldn't that be a great prayer request? Help us to hold fast to your faithful word. Never stray, never swerve, never be pulled away. Hey, there are things trying to pull you away from that book. Stick to it like glue. Why not get on your face today and say, God, here's their name. Here's the one I raised my hand about who's teaching false doctrine. And would you give me the Holy Ghost boldness and love and mercy in my heart and spirit to confront them? And Holy Spirit, would you help them to get it? See, here's our God. You know what I'm doing as pastor tonight? I'm trying to shepherd the flock, friends. You got to beware of false doctrine. You got to stand against it. If you're not careful, you'll begin thinking, well, I hope those people get what's coming to them. That's not God. God says, I want my Christians to go tell them they're lying because I want to save them like I saved them. Aren't you glad you serve a God like that, friends? Why not get on your face and say, God, help me hold fast to the faithful word? Why not get on your face and say, God, here's the name of the one who's teaching false doctrine. Would you help me to lovingly confront, and would you use me to win him or her to Christ? And then why don't you get on your face and say, God, here's the name of the person that I love who's believing a lie. Some of you looked at me for a family member, didn't you? There's maybe a brother, a sister, a mom, a dad, a grandparent, a grandchild. They're sucked in one of these false doctrines, and it's ripping your heart out. But how long has it been since you made a phone call? How long has it been since you went to them in love and said, listen, I love you too much to watch you die and go to hell? Because God's truth says this, and you're believing this, and this book is the truth. Man's book is a lie. We need this, friends. You know we need it, don't you? You know where it starts? On our faces. Do you understand tonight? Hey, I'm a preacher. I talk. That's what I do. But I believe the Holy Spirit's prompting me here. Do you understand that your prayers and your witness could be the only opportunity that person has left? If you don't do it, who will? Wouldn't you agree with me? This is serious. Amen tonight? Yes? This is serious. We have the truth. Don't be ashamed of it. Stand for it. Give it out. And anything that denies it, call it what it is. That's a lie. Because God said it's this way. This is what will send you to heaven. Not that. God, give us fortitude, faithfulness, boldness to stand like this. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. If God is speaking to you, would you get out of your seat? Would you come? Father, take it and use it, I pray. Use it, I pray, oh God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Some have come already. Would you come? Get out of your seat and come. If you need to be saved, come on. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, come on. Let us take it. Have a lady with a lady, a man with a man, and share with you the gospel. Let's pray together. Let's talk to God. God, here's their name. Here's who I'm praying for. Give me boldness to stand. so that they may be won to Christ, so that they may be saved. Not so I put them in their place, no. But so you put them in their place. And you save them. We'll pray here together momentarily. This will be our prayer time. I believe the Lord's leading in that direction. God has guided in this tonight. And may the Lord help us to pray about these things. Father, we love you tonight. And we thank you for the privilege to pray. I know I went overtime tonight as far as into our prayer time, but Lord, I believe this was of you. And you're guiding in this, you're leading in this, you're directing in this. And I pray, dear Lord, that you help our precious people who are burdened for specific people to understand this message. It is not to be unkind and ungodly and unholy and to go out to put people in their place, no. But it's to take the truth of the Word of God with a loving spirit, a Christ-like godly spirit, and in Holy Ghost boldness with authority, we preach the truth unashamedly. And we put false teaching in its place. Help us to stand for this. God, help us to stand right, to stand firm, to stand true, and to stand in a way that pleases you. Help us, Lord, to defeat this rezoning where they're trying to get liquor here. God, help us to stand firm against what you stand against. And I pray, dear Lord, that you help this church to be faithful to you, to hold fast the faithful word, never wavering, never swerving, sticking to like glue. Bless these precious folks who are carrying a burden. May they cast their burden upon the Lord. And may your will be done. Keep your hand upon this church, Lord. Keep the devil out, please. And may we go forward for the glory and honor of God. And may your will be done. I pray. We love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. And thank you, dear Lord, that somebody brought the truth to us. Somebody gave us the truth. Help us to be faithful to give it to others. Your heads are bowed. Sing it with me. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. You can look this way. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I like that. I like that as she plays through. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Is that not what Paul is telling Titus here? You do right. Like Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said. Preacher Lassie would say, I think it is, he'd cup his hand something like this and say, do right, do right, till the stars fall. This is what Paul is saying. Stand for truth. By the way, aren't you glad somebody gave you the truth of the gospel? Are you glad of that tonight? Say amen. Somebody gave you the truth. And Paul's saying there's other people out here trying to preach it wrong. put them in their place in the Christ-like spirit and show them that's a lie. This is the truth of God. What? Let me close with this and then we'll sing that, you know, whatever that is there. What a privilege that God has given us a copy of His faithful word. And now He wants us to stick to it. And if they try to pry it loose, we're going right with it because we're stuck on it like glue. This is it. We're not the only church in this area. Thank God for faithful churches and faithful pastors in this area who are holding the flag high. Thank God for them. But may I say this? If every church goes down the drain, may we not be one of those. Amen? May we stand firm, stand true. Let's sing this together, shall we? Though none go with me, still I will follow. Let's stand together. This will be our closing prayer. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. As you leave tonight, that meeting for helping Mr. and Mrs. Fair move.